coming up on the official Celtic FC podcast. The first part of our interview with Dante and Jules from Scottish rock band Gunn, as they chat about their new album, Hombres, as well as all things Celtic.
Wherever we are in the world, wherever we're gigging, wherever we're touring, we're always looking for the scores, we're always looking for...
This is the official Celtic FC podcast.
Hello and welcome to the official Celtic FC podcast, the podcast that brings you all the news and information from inside Celtic Park with players past, present and future as well. Now, for those of you who are watching this podcast, you might be looking at my guests today and thinking, I don't remember them as former Celtic players, but we also sometimes bring in some celebrity Celtic fans, guys who have achieved something else in their career but remain absolute passionate Celtic fans, and that is certainly the case today for my two guests, Jules and Dante from the band Gunn, one of the finest rock bands that Scotland's ever produced. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Now, we're going to be talking all things Celtic. There is a new album that's just coming out, Hombres, the ninth studio album from Gunn. We'll talk about that as well, although beforehand you said we'll just talk all things Celtic, absolutely. But what I was... The first thing I was going to say, actually, and partly because of the T-shirt you're wearing, Jules, straight out of Carlton, and you guys are Carlton-born and bred, and I was trying to think, is there any other Scottish band that was born and brought up closer to Celtic Park than you guys? I don't think there is.
No, absolutely. You know, the only people I could think about is maybe Jim Kerr, Charlie Birchall, but they were Gorbals.
No, they were more Gorbals.
Probably, but we are the closest to
Celtic. We both went to St Mary's, obviously. Where Tommy Burns was a parishioner, so.
It's great because, you know, all the games that Celtic played at weekends through the week, we could always go, just a walk away to the, you know, just to the stadium and stuff and go and watch the, you know, your beloved Celtic. Just amazing.
Supporting your local team.
It's you know, wherever we are in the world, wherever we're gigging, wherever we're touring, we're always looking for the scores, we're always looking for, you know, we're really passionate about we've been steeped in Celtic, you know, so from where we come from and you know, and the people, you know, our pals and about us, you know, we're just diehard Celtic fans, you know.
Yeah, now I mentioned this album that I've got a vinyl copy of it. It's just out now. It's obviously available in vinyl, various other formats or any of the streaming platforms. Your ninth studio album, that's an impressive tally in itself. But then I'm obviously looking back, and I don't know whether that's when you start saying, you know, I think the band was formed in 1987. The first album came out in 1989.
Yeah, that's right, Paul.
That's a long time. But I think that's an impressive achievement because you think of how few bands stand the test of time.
Well, I think definitely we feel, you know, we've been very lucky and been able to do that and been able to release albums after that, you know, and having that opportunity to do that, because it's very difficult these days to, you know, for young bands to get out there and promote and make albums and stuff like that. So we feel really privileged in that respect. But this is, you know, this album, I think, I mean, dare I say, it's probably... I mean, we've still got that hunger and the energy in this band, and especially when it comes to songwriting. So I don't think this is that far off, like, from Taking on the World. It's like a continuation of Taking on the World, and it has modern elements in it. But I think when you hear that album, it's got, like, bags of energy, and it's just, you know, it was just so much fun to actually record it.
And I think, you know, Dante mentioned we were lucky. Well, you create your own luck, you know what I mean? You don't, it doesn't come to you, you know, and... We've been really passionate about it from day one of really trying to make the best music that we can possibly can for our fans, and hopefully cross over to other fans who might not have known the band and stuff like that. I think it's just really important, and we really, really love what we do. So we've built a fan base that, you know, when we race the race leg, they're all... Yeah. The record, they're all out there buying it and supporting the band, and and I think when the hunger start to lose that, you know, in the studio, then it's maybe time to call it a day. But we just love being in the studio and recording music and getting out gigging and playing, you know, and it's a passion, you know. We absolutely love it, you know, and you know, long may it continue. You know, we'll always look to the next year. You know, hopefully we do well this year, and then hopefully better the following year.
Because I think you make a good point, because there's probably elements along the way of your career where there has been moments of luck.
Yeah,
but that doesn't sustain you, because you know people aren't going to put your records out just for any sentimental reasons. Yeah. It has to stack up against what you've done before, but also it has to stack up against what's out just now. So to that, to your point, when you listen to this, and you know it's probably a classic Gunn album. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of real rocking tunes.
Very much so, wouldn't it? And we're lucky enough actually to get it featured on upcoming Samuel Jackson movie. Damaged. There's two songs that's going to be in the movie. I think it's kind of released in the States now, but at the end of the year, I think they're looking for a UK release of the movie. So I can't wait to see it. You know, but no, I think the songs, you know, themselves. I mean, I'm very, very critical of my own vocal. You know, and I've always been, to the point where like I used to like track my vocals, which means like doubling your vocals to make it sound thicker, to make it more effective.
Right.
But with this album, there's not any of that, hardly any of that. And for me, that I do not like the sound of my own voice, I've actually really enjoyed listening to this album. And I think it's the best I've ever sung before. You know, and for me to say that, like I'm my own worst critic, you know, is something really special for me, you know, and I can't wait for everybody to hear it.
Yeah, that's quite nice actually to be able to be in that position to say that, because what amazed me when I was listening to it, and I was lucky enough just to get a wee kind of sneak preview of it, is that, you know, that way after so many years, Jules, you mentioned the passion, but also at some point I'm guessing you guys must just be sitting there and you have to start that creative process of thinking of, because you've written so many songs over the year, but still to be able to come up with new songs and new ideas.
That's exactly it, Paul. The hunger's
still
there.
Like you know, it's just, you know, I think even when you think of the bands when it came out, maybe like Texas came out at the same time as us and stuff. Oh, we were stable mates and stuff like that, management and the same management and stuff. But a lot of bands had, at that point, there were so many Glasgow bands getting signed, you know, and a lot of them kind of just withered away and stuff like that. But we just kept at it. I don't know. It's just a passion that you get for it. You know, I always look at like a football team or a football player, or, you know, you only get out of what you put in it, what you put into it. And if you keep trying, if you keep working and enjoy what you're doing, because we, you know, we'll never be multi-millionaires, but we are. We just really love what we do, you know. And I can wake up every day, go to the studio, go work with Dante, go into the studio, work. You know, we can afford to do that, and it's great, you know. You've just got to keep that up. Nobody needs to tell me or him. We just know we need to go into the studio, because it's just part of what we love doing.
Because there's also a thing, any time, you know that way when you go to a gig. And I know you guys, there's plenty of in-store promotions for this album, but also you're going to be playing, for any Celtic fans that are watching or listening in Spain, there's going to be a lot of gigs in Spain coming up in May, and then later in the year there's a UK
tour
playing the Barrowlands in December the 14th. It's any time, and especially somewhere like the Barrowlands, you go, and there's always something, and you'll be able to tell me what this is like, because I love it being in the crowd and that atmosphere, but for you guys to be there, you know, a stone's throw from where you were brought up, it's your home gig, it's your hometown, and that response, I mean,
that's great.
I can imagine that there can be no greater feeling.
Oh, it's amazing. We did it just last year there, didn't we? We were like, you know, mum's house, you know, and then I think it was like quarter to eight or something like that, I think like that, and we just like, do you want to walk down? And we just kind of walked down, and it's weird just walking
from my mum's house to your own gig.
That's amazing.
It's about a 3 or 4 minute walk. Also,
that's amazing.
So you're just walking down, and you're just like that. This is just amazing, because we've done it so many times. It's just amazing to come down, and then you're going into this, you know, into this gig, the Barlands, you know, in front of 2,000 people.
That's what Dante's saying. You know, so me and him, we're walking down, and it's maybe around about
8 o'clock or something.
Yeah, about 8 o'clock. A lot of pundits are coming in, but we go through the back door.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're walking, it's just me and him just chatting about the gig and talking about, right, well, you know, we'll open up this song and we'll try, and you know, and it's just me and him just standing and talking. And then when you get into the venue, and you can start feeling that atmosphere, and you can start, it's building up, building up, and you're like, this is just incredible, you know.
Does that take you back then to just being wee guys when you're just...
I used to go down there and play the puggies, like when I was like, get all my pocket money. Jules used to give me pocket money, actually, for doing his jeans, ironing his jeans and stuff like that. That's what I used to do. So I used to get all my pocket money and I'd go down the Barris on a Saturday morning when it used to be absolutely rammed.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd go down and play the fruit machines and then, yeah, so doing that, and then like years later, you're just going to play gigs.
We were born and bred. And the Barris was great. You know, we were down at Dick Barton's pool hall and just hang about there with some of the other pals, you know, and it was great. It's just a great childhood memory, you know, and everything was Celtic, you know, everything, all my pals, and, you know, it was just been hanging about the Barris.
Obviously, the Celtic pubs down there as well.
Yeah, hanging about the Barris and stuff like that when we were kids and growing up, and my mum would take us down there at Christmas Eve, you know, all that. You know, just all those great memories, you know. You know, it's always a special.
Remember Bird's Bar and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, amazing.
Sorry, used to frequent there.
I suppose it's that kind of you get that sense of just the pride of where you're from.
Where you're from.
And I wonder as well whether part of the reason for your success and longevity is the fact that you kind of keep that humility and you never forget where you come from.
Yeah, 100%.
Like who we spoke about, like Tommy, you know, like Tommy Burns. Tommy Burns is a superstar. For Celtic, you know, he was, you know, Tommy Burns was green and white all the way through, his blood, his heart, everything, you know. But when you met him, you couldn't meet a more down to earth guy, just like you, like anybody out there. He was just,
it rubs off on you.
Those words he always, in that interview, he's just, I'm just a Celtic, we just got lucky. He made his own luck. He was a phenomenal footballer, you know, and people loved him, you know. And I just think, be humble, you know, take your success, great, doing it, but Brendan, you're just a Kelton boy, you know, and that's the way we always look at.
In the Kelton, actually, you're well told. Keep your feet in the ground.
No matter where we are in the world, if we could be in Portugal, America, whatever, we talk about the Kelton. We talk about our upbringing, we talk about our football team, we talk about, you know, the passion and everything else that got us to here, you know.
Because I like that about you guys as well, that and it's, I think Scotland's different now, that, like, you know, people, if they, whatever team they support, they're more comfortable talking about it. You know, because maybe for a few years people are, you know, they just, if you weren't involved in football, you just didn't talk about football. But you guys have always pinned your colours to the mast, which I think is the right thing to do, because if you're a Celtic fan, you're a Celtic fan.
Oh, I would never ever hide anything. Never, that's my team forever and ever and ever, you know, until the day I die, you know. But no, I just, you know, that's what so we were brought up, you know. Support your team, and that's, I totally bill, you know, no matter what, you should always support a Rangers fan, Hearts, Aberdeen. We're Celtic fans and we're big Celtic fans, and you know, it means so much to us, you know, supporting that team.
When we were on our way up to the studio here, and obviously we stopped it, we were inside the stadium getting some photographs, and the guy who was doing the photographs is a lot younger than us, and I kind of felt like we were three old guys, because suddenly we were looking at the house, how great the stadium was, but then we started reminiscing about the fact we were lucky enough to have gone to see Celtic and stand in the jungle, and those were great days. They were of their time, but it was a special, so I quite like having that contrast, if you can remember back to being a wee guy and going,
getting pulled over the turnstile,
and sitting, your dad sitting you up in the bar and stuff.
Absolutely.
But you wouldn't change from, you know, the way the stadium looks now.
Oh, it's incredible. Now.
It's state of the art when you look at that. I mean, we talk about, you know, you go and you play a big gig, you know.
That's a good reference.
What must that be like when you're, walking out in that, you know, like a real Celtic diehard fan, you know, like a Paul McStay.
Even just walking out into that empty stadium, I get the same sort of awe that we'd gone on stage in front of 2,000 people at Glasgow Barlines. Just walking into that empty stadium, I'm just like, it takes your breath away it, you know.
But the good old days, you know, in the jungle and everything else, they were, again, growing up and stuff, and you know, some of the, you know, some of the smells.
It's funny, whenever I spoke to some former players, especially like guys that say when they've made their debut, and you know, the first time they're told, you know, the first time you score a goal, just run to that jungle.
Oh.
And you know, take that acclaim, because that means you're here, that's you've arrived. So
absolutely, you know, and you used to see it with McStay or, you know, Burns or, you know, McCarry or any of those ones running that jungle when they'd scored, you know, fantastic memories, you know.
Because I wonder as well, you know, that way, and again, we were talking about Tommy Burns, God rest him, and how you guys all went to his debut. Mm-hmm. He was a kind of hero of the Carlton. Oh, he was a Celtic boy. Then, but then I wonder if there's, you know, there's maybe some, over the years, there's been some young men and women who have like wanted to go into music. And but it's kind of, they see you're part of that community, and look what you've done. But you never know if you've inspired people to go on and do something, because, you know, if you see it, you can be it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We've had loads of people come up to us and, you know, like, you're just boys for Carlton. How did you, you know, how did you go from to achieve your success from? And it's just a passion, you know. I think
I would also say that, like, you know, the fans that we have, obviously, of the demographic of our age and stuff like that, but they bring the young sons or young daughters and stuff like that to the show, aspiring to become a musician and stuff like that. And they're like, they come up to you and their dad's with them and stuff like that. I've been, you know, my dad's obviously got me into your band and stuff like that. And I absolutely love, you know, all your songs. And it's like, God, this is unbelievable what you think this, you know. And for somebody to take, you know, I don't know, just that wee bit of, you know, hope and stuff like that, and want to become a musician, if you can help somebody like that, it means a lot to us, you know.
Yeah, I look at it, how I got into it, you know. And what really inspired me to get into music, I saw AC/DC for the very first time in Glasgow at the City Halls. It was their very first gig.
Right.
And I never knew nothing about them. I just went along, and I was like, I was 13 or 14, I went along, and I just couldn't take it in. I was just absolutely blown away with this wee guy.
Had you started playing the guitar by then? Or?
I hadn't started playing guitar at all. I was into like David Bowie, T-Rex, you know, all the kind of glam stuff, Sweet, Glitter Band, all that kind of stuff. But when I first saw AC/DC, I'd never seen any of those bands, but when I first saw AC/DC live, and this wee guy were, you know, in a school uniform, you know, I went back to school and you know, that I think it was a Friday or Saturday, I went to school on the Monday, and I just couldn't stop telling anybody about this band I had just seen, you know, and I was so blown away with it that I thought, I'm going to try and play back guitar just to...
But that's that inspiration,
what,
isn't
and
it?
That's what made it kind of, and I thought, oh God, I really like this instrument, I really like playing it, and I just played it for hours and hours and hours, because I was playing football and stuff like that, you know, at that age as well, you know, and I just thought, no, this is what I want to do, you know, and I kept at it and kept at it, you know, and formed bands along the way, and then just kind of worked my way up to try and achieve a record deal, like a footballer would try to achieve a contract with a football team, you know.
Because there's always that thing, you know, sometimes they say footballers want to be rock stars want to be footballers. Yeah. But there is a parallel, because you know that way you're saying, and I love, again, it's another thing I love about going to gigs now, that you see, so when you see Johnny Marr in the Barrowlands, so I remember him back in the Smiths 40 years ago. But, and he'll play some Smith songs, but again, it's like people my age, but it's the next generation and then two generations, so it's young ones.
Yep.
So it's getting passed on, and it's the same with football, that you know, it's something that you want to pass these things on, because to your point,
the good things,
the passions, and you know, they're special to you, and you want, so
absolutely,
so you pass Celtic on to the next generation. Oh, the same way as, you know, Gun fans,
my boy now, he's my boy, Ruben is
Celtic fan,
mad Celtic fan now, you know, it's, you just know, but, he's like phoning you up and texting you and stuff like that.
Listen, I bet he never had a choice.
But he has became like real sort of diehard, and it's great to pass that
like
on.
Like Dante said, you know, the amount of young people that are coming to our shows now, you know, because
of, you know, the parents bringing passing on it. And some are
grasping. Does that make you up up your game in a way, because to your point earlier on that, you know, this is as good an album, you're as proud of this as the first album, but also you're also appealing to a different audience. You need to, you need to be doing something different,
contemporary. Definitely, well, it's got that sort of those elements of sort of you know, but it's the energy that it has, and I think that'll connect with the young fans. And you know, as I said, it's probably my most favourite album to listen to and to have sung on.
I think you've always got to try and be a step ahead, you know, of your music. You know, like, what's the next album going to be sounding like? You know, we'll still have its roots, we'll still have the big guitars, but we'll probably take it another kind of direction, but keep the same identity, you know? I suppose it's like Football Manager's different formations, this formation, try this, try that. And you've always got to kind of stay a step ahead in the music. And
I suppose that's the exciting thing.
Absolutely.
You two are never going to get together one day and go, we've got to write another song. It's like,
that would be the time to give it up.
But that's the thing, if you're still excited.
Well, this record, you know, is just about to come out, blah, blah, but we've got about 5, 6, 7 new ideas ready to go back in the studio when we're ready to do it, when we get the time to do it. We always got to keep going, keep working at it, you know.
We're not
Lennon and McCartney or Jack and Richardson, so we've got to really work at it.
Because one of the songs, I think Falling, that came you'd brought out an EP earlier on this year, so people would have got a sense of some of the songs. So for example, that song, how does that come about, that song, or who's the inspiration for that?
Right, so that's a funny story. But we kind of, I think it was near the end of the pandemic, you know. I think we're still under lockdown a bit, and then Joe's came up to the house, because obviously, you know, we're only allowed 2 or 3 people in at your house at that point, but anyway, he would be up every day anyway, so he came up, he goes, I've got this great idea to let you hear. No, he's just playing it you know, on acoustic guitar. So he had the verse of it and the chorus of it, and he just played it in the room. And this is back at my mum's house, where we've got a wee studio. So it's like, you know, in the Carlton. And I goes, that's a really good idea, Jules. I really like that. I love it, actually. And then I goes, look, would you mind if I just work on it myself? And I can remember him going like, you do like it, don't you? You do like it? I goes, like, I love it. So, Jules doesn't know.
I'm old school.
He's not really good with technology and anything computer-wise or anything. And I kind of like that, Paul. I prefer him to work on ideas if it's just coming acoustically. Because if it comes acoustically, if you can have a song, you know, through playing just acoustic or even piano or whatever, that's all you need. That's a sign of a good song, a really good song. Everything else that comes in after it, the drums or the keyboards and stuff like that, and all the parts putting it together, that comes afterwards. But if you've got the nucleus of a good song there, and that's why I don't let him use any computer stuff. Not that he'd want to use it anyway, but so I goes, now listen, please just leave me alone to work on it. And he goes, are you sure? He goes, you've got the verse and the chorus, I'll make it build. And that was, I had it finished by about 4 or 5 in the afternoon, and he came back up to the house. So I had to let him go, because I don't like him when he sits there and listens to what I'm doing. I just like to work on it myself, and made it. And I got just so into it. And it was when you find something that's really good song-wise, you can't help but just like pushing ahead with it. You just want to get it because you want to hear it as a song. And did the demo, he came up to the house and he goes, wow, this is amazing. This is exactly what I wanted to hear. I goes, well, this is the way I had heard it in my head. And for me, my inspiration from it was the Johnny Cash cover version of Heart.
Right.
Yeah.
Not so much the actual, it's just the way it builds in the song. It's just amazing. I've always loved it, and that's where the inspiration. So the demo version doesn't differ too much from the album version, actually.
And I've always, you know, I've always wanted a sort of writing a song that and just builds. It has the highs and the lows, and it drops, and you know. And the start of it, I was kind of listening to, because there's a wee Pedro guitar part at the beginning of it. And if you listen to like Sailing, was it Rod Stewart's on the high, I'm sailing. The start of that song, it's just like a wee guitar part, and that gave me the idea of the intro of the start of it, you know. And then I just kind of worked on it from there, you know. But you listen to all different music and different ideas, and you know, different musicians, different bands. You get a wee sparkle when you're writing songs.
As I said, working on that song, it was like by the end of it, I was getting sort of the goosebumps just in the demo, and I love that feeling. You know.
Well, listen, that's the perfect intro to a song. We're going to have a listen to Fallen now from Gunn to see if you get goosebumps as well.
These strange days, as I lie awake, can't control my fears in the morning rain. And all I need is for you to stay, 'cause I just can't breathe when you say you'll live. And you got me holding back the words to you. Secret that I'm falling, I am falling. Yes, I'm falling, I am falling for you. Falling, I am falling, falling. Yes, I'm falling, falling. I am falling, falling for you. Let's get high like we used to do, and the world